السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربي زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we're going to cover ayah 27 to 32 today of Surah An-Nisa. We'll start with the word meanings, inshallah, starting with ayah number 27. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa and Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yuridu, he wants, an that, yatuba, he turns in mercy. This word comes from Toba, okay, which means to repent. When we are speaking about people and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does Toba, when it refers to him, it means that he turns in mercy towards people. Okay, so yatubu, he turns in mercy, alaykum, alay, upon kum, all of you. Wa, and yuridu, he wants, alladhina, those who. Okay, here the yuridu, you can leave out the he because it refers to alladhina, the word coming up after that. So, wa yuridu, and want, alladhina, those who, yattabi'una, they follow. Taba'a means to follow. Ya in the beginning means this word is in the third person, and una ending makes it plural. So yattabi'una, they follow. Ash-shahawati, the desires. An, that, tamilu. The root word here is mail, mailan, and that means inclining to. So ta in the beginning means you, and vau, alif, in the end means this word is plural and it's a verb. So tamilu, you all incline, mailan, an inclining, adhima, great, yuridu, he wants, Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an, that, yukhafifa, he lightens. Khuffa means something that is light, khufif, so you in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person and this is a verb. So you khuffifa, he lightens, an, from, kum, all of you, wa, and khuliqa, was created. Al-insanu, the mankind, or human, dhaifa, weak. Ya ayyuha, oh, alladhina, those who, amanu, believed, la, do not, ta'kulu, you all eat. Akala is the root word, alif, kaf, lam, and that means to eat something. Ta in the beginning means you, and vau alif in the end makes this word plural. So, la ta'kulu, do not, you all eat, or devour. Amwalakum, amwal means wealth, kum, yours, bainakum. Baina, between, kum, all of you, be in or with, al, the, batili, wrong or false way. So, bil batili, in the wrong way. Illa, except, an, the, takuna, it be, tijaratan, a trade, on, from, the radin, mutual consent. This word comes from ridwa, which means to agree, okay, to be pleased with. So, taradin, mutual consent. Minkum, min, from, kum, all of you. Wa, and, la, do not, taqutulu, you all kill. Qatala is the root word, and that means to fight or kill. Ta in the beginning means you, and vawalif in the end makes this word plural. So, taqutulu, you all kill. Anfusakum. Anfus is plural for nafs. which means a soul. So anfusa, souls, gum, yours. So anfusakum, yourselves. Inna, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kana, he is, bikum, be with, kum, all of you, rahima, one, always, all, merciful. This is one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes. And it comes from raham, rahamim, which means mercy. Vamein yaf'al, wa and man, whoever, yaf'al, he does. Fa'ala means to do, ya in the beginning means he. So yaf'al, he does, thalika, that, udwanan, enmity, or transgression. Wa and dhulman, injustice, fasofa, fa, then, sofa, will, nuslihi, we make him enter, or we burn him. Nu in the beginning means we, that's the pronoun, and swad lam means to enter and burn. Okay, it's often used for the hellfire. And he in the end means him. So nuslihi, we make him enter, or we make him burn. Naran, in fire, the hellfire. Wa and kana is thalika, tha, ala, upon Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yasira, very easy. This comes from yusra, which means ease. So yasira, very easy. In, if, tajtanibu, you all avoid. Ta in the beginning means you, and waw alif in the end means this is plural. So in tajtanibu, if you all avoid or abstain, kaba'ira. This comes from kabir, which means big. So kaba'ira, big, meaning the big sins. Ma, what? Tunhona, you are forbidden. Naha is the root word here. Nahi, which means to stop or forbid. Ta in the beginning means you. And we know this word is passive. It begins with a dhamma. And the second last letter is the second last haraka on it is a fatha. So tunhauna, you all are forbidden or stopped. And the ona ending means it's plural. Anhu, un, from, who, it, nukaffir, we will remove. Noon in the beginning means we, so kaffir, we will distance or we will remove. An, from, kum, all of you, sayyi'atikum, sayyi'at, sins, kum, yours. Wa and nudkhilkum, dakhala means to enter, noon in the beginning means we, so nudkhil, we shall enter, kum, all of you, so we shall admit or make all of you enter, mudkhalan, an entrance, karima, one noble or respected. Wala, wa, and la, do not, tatamanno, you all long for. Tamanna means to wish for something. So tatamanno, ta in the beginning means you, and wawalif in the end means this is plural. So tatamanno, you all long for. Ma, what, faddalallahu. Faddala, he preferred, Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be with he, it, ba'dakum. Ba'd, some, kum, of you, ala, upon, ba'd, some others. Lirijali, li, for, and then al means the, and rijal, men. So lirijali, for the men, nasibun, a share, or a portion, mimma, min from, ma, whatever, iktasabu. Kasaba means to earn. And waw alif in the end tells us this word is plural and it's a verb. So iktasabu, they earned. Wa and lin nisa'i, li means for, al means the, and nisa means women. So wa lin nisa'i, and for the women, nasibun, a share or a portion, mimma, min from, ma, whatever, iktasabun, they earned. And the noon in the end tells us that this refers to women, females. Okay, so iktasabna, they earned, the women earned. Wasalu, wa means and sa'ala is the root word, and that means to ask or question. And waw alif in the end tells us this is plural. So this is a command, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing a lot of people. And he says this, was'alu, and you all ask, Allaha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, min, from, or of, fadlihi, fadl, means bounty or grace, he, his. Inna, indeed, Allaha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kana, is. Bi kulli, be with, kulli, all or every, shay'in, thing, aliman, one always all knowing. This comes from the word ilm, which means knowledge, and this is one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes, aliman, one always all knowing. Alhamdulillah. Now we'll begin the tafsir, or the explanation of these ayat. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wallahu yuridu an yatuba alaykum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to forgive you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats this again after telling us this in the last ayah that we covered last week. And he repeats this to emphasize this point, okay? That he wants to turn to us in mercy. He wants to forgive us. And we know that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make the same dua three times when making dua because of its importance. Okay, like when we say Allahumma ajirna minan nar, right? We often say it three times because it's sunnah to do that, because of its importance. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also repeated himself three times when saying important things, any other important things too. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the last ayah is very important. So he repeats it again in this ayah. Then he tells us, after telling us that he wants to turn to us in mercy and forgive us, he tells us what we should not do. Okay? He wants us to know that it is out of mercy that he is telling us to stay away from certain things. He doesn't want us to think that he gave us these rules to trouble us. They are not meant to be difficult for us. We should be sure that he sent these rules for us so that he can turn to us in mercy for our own good. He tells us about the rights of other people in these ayat. He created both men and women, and he knows best who should be responsible for what. Trust his knowledge, because he is the all-knowing and he is Hakim, he is the all-wise. So trust his knowledge and his wisdom.
وَيُرِيدُ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الشَّهَوَاتِ أَن تَمِيلُوا مَيْلًا عَظِيمًا.
But those who follow their lusts wish to see you deviate far away from the right path. They want you to follow your desires instead of following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rules and instead of seeking his mercy. And they do that themselves too. They do whatever they think is right, whatever they feel like doing. They don't care about the orders of Allah. And they think everything should be how they want it to be. They don't want to follow the Sharia, the rules sent by Allah. They think the orders of Allah are meant to restrict them. And those people question Allah's rules without even thinking if the things they want even make sense or not. Like, some women complain that men aren't allowed to have four wives. So why aren't women allowed to get married to four men? Astaghfirullah. It doesn't even make sense. Or they ask why a woman needs the approval of her guardian for her nikah to happen when the man doesn't. We covered some of the reasons last week for this, but even if we don't understand anything, we should be at ease, knowing that Allah sent these rules for us, and He knows best because He is our Creator. He knows what's best for us. Some people object to so many of the rules we have recently covered in class because they don't understand how knowledgeable and how wise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. They just want to follow their desires. That's what most people do nowadays anyway. They do whatever they want to do with everything in life. When it comes to inheritance or marriage or mehr, having secret friendships that we covered last week that we learned about, whatever. All of these things, they do exactly what they feel like doing. And if anyone does that, if anyone just chooses to follow their desires, what they want to do, they are basically just following their desires. Okay, even if they pray and fast and do the other basic things, they are not obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they're just doing what they feel like doing. Allah wants to turn to us in mercy. And that is why He gave us these rules. Because we can't figure out what's best for us. And we don't know if something is safe for us or not. That's why humans change things from time to time. We change rules as we learn more about certain things because we don't have complete knowledge. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has complete knowledge, and that's why His rules are the best. He teaches us how people can live peacefully in society, in harmony, where everyone worries about fulfilling the rights of others. And since He is the all-knowing and the all-wise, these rules apply till the day of judgment. Because He knew they would be needed till the day of judgment, and they are applicable. And they lead to success in this life and the hereafter. Imagine a society where everyone followed the rules of Allah. How beautiful would that be? Everyone would be at peace and content. We don't see that anywhere, so it's hard for us to even imagine that. Even those who believe are not willing to follow the rules of Allah nowadays. They want to come up with their own ways of doing things. Even the Muslims want to be free, like others who do whatever they feel like doing. They don't want to follow Allah's orders, and that's why most people are not content in life. And they are headed for destruction in the hereafter, because all they want to do is follow their lusts. They try to lead others astray too. When they see others who try to follow Islam, they want them to go astray too. Sometimes that's people from your own family, or your own relatives or friends who try to do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us clearly that they don't want others to follow the right path. Yuridullahu an yukhaffifa ankum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to lighten your burdens. The orders Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the previous ummas were harder to follow. But He made things much easier for the ummah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, we can pray anywhere on earth, anywhere on the earth. But the former people had to go to their special places of worship, just to be able to pray. And for us, if we can't stand up to praise Allah, if we're sick or not feeling well, we can sit and pray. And if we can't even do that, we can even lie down and pray Salah. If someone can't make wudu before praying Salah, they are allowed to make tayammum. They can perform tayammum, which is dry ablution. For people who can't fast due to travel or illness, they can make it up afterwards. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made ease for us. He doesn't want to put us in difficulty. And we learned this already in Surah Al-Baqarah. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. But do we really believe this? Or do we also complain that it's too hard to follow Islam? Too hard to practice? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He wants to lighten our burdens and forgive us, we shouldn't think that His rules cause problems for us. He cannot be wrong. So obviously we are wrong to even think that His rules would cause problems for us. When we learn about the miraj of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he ascended to the heavens, we find out that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had prescribed 50 prayers per day. Musa alayhi salam warned Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that his ummah would not be able to do it, because his ummah had to pray less than that, but they couldn't even complete those. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then reduced the number a few times, and only 5 daily prayers were prescribed in the end. But the reward of those 5 would be equal to the 50 that were originally prescribed. SubhanAllah. Also, the women from the previous ummahs were restricted from many things during their period. Those restrictions were lifted for this ummah. So Muslim women don't have to go through difficulties like women from the former ummahs did. Another example of how Allah made ease for this ummah is, remember when we learned in Surah Al-Baqarah how people were told to kill each other after they worshipped the calf? That was as a punishment and for expiation of their sins. For Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to just repent, to just seek forgiveness, which is so much easier. One more example. The former ummahs were not permitted to keep the spoils of war, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it lawful for the Muslim ummah. Something else that Allah made lawful for Muslims that the former ummahs were not allowed to do: Muslims can eat out of the meat they sacrifice in the way of Allah. The previous ummahs could not do that. So there were many orders that Allah sent to make ease for Muslims, even though those things had been difficult for people before. وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. And humans have been created weak by nature. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows our weaknesses. He knows that we make mistakes and we mess up. We are weak, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has only given us orders according to our strength. Men have their weaknesses and women have their own weaknesses. At times, people just forget, even though they want to do something good. And other times, they don't want to do something wrong, but they end up doing it because they are weak. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He knows humans are weak, and He knows that they'll make mistakes. So He gives them a chance to repent, so they can turn back to Allah and seek forgiveness. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Oh believers, there's an important message for the believers coming up. لا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل. Do not consume one another's wealth through unlawful means, meaning through any of the ways that Allah has forbidden, because those ways are all batil. So people are told not to use each other's wealth in the wrong way.
إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ تِجَارَةً عَنْ تَرَاضٍ مِّنْكُمْ,
except that it is a trade or a business with mutual consent. Otherwise, people are not allowed to take someone else's wealth by cheating or lying, stealing or deceiving. And they can't take someone else's money by charging interest or taking bribes either. Another thing to remember in business is that people cannot give the other person less of something that they're charging for, or give something of lesser value when the other person expects something that is better quality. People are not allowed to store goods to cause a shortage in the market, because that shortage causes the prices to go up. And then the reason why they do this is to sell those items they stored for a higher price once there's a shortage. Some people just take over someone else's wealth unjustly. All these things are forbidden. So taking anything without the consent of the other person is wrong. That is not like business, in which you pay someone to buy something. When you pay someone for an item you buy, they can use that money because they made a business transaction with you with mutual consent. But tricking someone out of their money, whether they know it or not, is haram. It is batil. This ayah should make us think of all the different batil ways that people consume each other's wealth. And we should be aware of all the negative effects of doing that. Let's go over some of them. When a person takes someone else's wealth in the wrong way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept that person's dua. There's a hadith about someone who goes for Hajj. That person goes through so much trouble to get there, and he makes dua and prays, but his dua is not answered, even though he is a traveler and he is performing Hajj. And why is that? We know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the dua of travelers, and of course when someone's performing Hajj. Why isn't his dua answered? Because that person did not earn his living in a halal way. He earned that money in an unlawful way and had been living off of it. Astaghfirullah. Imagine how helpless a person is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't answer their dua. There are many ways that people earn money in forbidden ways, and there are different punishments for each of those ways. Charging interest is one example. Deceiving people to take their money is another way. The punishment for that is different from the one who takes interest. The person who takes the wealth of an orphan is punished in a different way. According to hadith, some other ways of earning money in haram ways, some other haram ways are selling the puppies of a dog or the kittens of a cat after they're born, selling dead animals, which includes not slaughtering the animals according to Islamic rules, selling alcohol or pork. Buying or selling these things is haram, even if the two parties agree. And with interest also, even if both parties agree to the terms, it is still not allowed. That is because those things are haram to begin with. They're forbidden. So people can't buy or sell them, even if they both agree. Like the money a prostitute earns by committing zina. Even if both parties agree, the person who pays her for it and the woman who charges money are both committing a kabira sin. The act itself is haram, so the money she takes is not lawful. And then deceiving someone to take their money is forbidden, as well as buying or selling any haram item or providing a haram service. And if someone is not putting in the hours, doing the work they're paid to do, that's forbidden too. The money that fortune tellers earn is haram, and that includes tarot cards and palm reading. Another haram source of income that's common nowadays is when female figures or faces are used in an indecent way to advertise products and sell them. That income is not halal. Another thing to keep in mind about halal transactions, lawful transactions. Until the buyer and seller part, they are able to cancel that transaction if they change their mind. Once they part, the seller cannot take back anything and the buyer cannot return it. Unless the store where you're buying something from gives you the right to exchange or return products within a certain time period. If that's their policy, the store policy, then it's okay. So any transaction or business has to be done with the consent of both parties. A common fraud is when people lie to the government to get benefits. They think it's okay as long as they're not tricking someone personally, okay, someone in particular. They lie to show that they fall into the low income category just to seek benefits, even though they are fine, they're well to do. They take the benefits that are only meant for low income families. Or they lie and show that they don't work in order to collect unemployment when they're working. Any money that is earned by deception and lying is haram. So none of this is allowed. Taking someone else's wealth and using it with your own is not allowed either. A lot of times people take over the property of others when that's forbidden. So we must fear Allah, because each haram way of taking something unjustly or earning money in a haram way has its own punishment. That's because people cross the limits of Allah and they aren't careful when dealing with others. Even though Islam teaches us to be very careful with others, when dealing with others, and we have to make sure that we fulfill their rights. Even if people are religious, otherwise, they will be punished for taking anything that does not belong to them through deception. Imagine the children that are brought up using money that was earned in a haram way. Can the parents expect their children to be good when they're raised on haram income? Of course not. So we must be very careful with these matters. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "For a person who swears to take what's rightfully someone else's, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make Jahannam a must for that person, and He will forbid Jannah for that person." A man asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ya Rasulullah, even if that item is as small as a branch of a tree?" And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yes, even if it's a small branch of a tree." People do this sometimes when selling their used things, like cars or appliances, household items. They say that something works perfectly when it doesn't. What they should do is tell that person interested in buying that product that it does work, but it's not perfect. Then it's up to that person to buy it or leave it. So we're not allowed to do any sort of injustice to take what is not rightfully ours, whether it's money or other things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "La ta'kulu," do not take the wealth of another person using unlawful ways. Lots of people don't like to live within their means these days, so they turn to haram ways to get more. But that is why they are never content. On the Day of Judgment, everyone will be questioned about five things before they can even move. And one of those things is, how did you earn your money? So we must be prepared to answer that question. Next, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, and do not kill yourselves. This can mean one of three things. The first meaning of it is to not kill each other, because another Muslim is a part of us. If anyone kills a Muslim on purpose, not by mistake, that person will end up in Jahannam forever, with the curse and wrath of Allah. That is a kabira sin. We'll learn about this later on, inshallah, in detail. Secondly, when people take the wealth of another person unjustly, it's as if they are killing them. That's the second meaning. Okay, so people are warned not to do that. We are told to not spread mischief in society by trying to cheat others out of their money or their property. Because when these things become common in a community, it's like having killed those people. And the third meaning of وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, do not commit suicide. Unfortunately, this has become common. People start thinking about suicide over little things, especially the youth. Anytime they face any problems or go through any failures in life, whether it's because of bad grades or not being able to marry the person they want, they think about taking their lives. They don't value their lives, but they must realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has entrusted us with our lives. Our lives belong to Allah. So we can only die when He has decreed for us to die. We can't choose to die and take our own lives. That is a kabira sin. One of the major sins, a greater sin. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever commits suicide using a weapon will end up in Jahannam with that weapon. And he or she will keep killing themselves in the same way there, over and over again. Anyone who takes poison to die will do that again and again in Jahannam. If anyone jumps off of a mountain to die, they will keep falling into the fire of Jahannam like that forever. This is a Muslim hadith. So whatever that person did to commit suicide is what they will keep doing in Jahannam forever. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam refused to pray Salatul Janazah for a man who committed suicide. That doesn't mean that it shouldn't be done by anyone if someone commits suicide. People should pray Salatul Janazah for someone even if they die in that haram way. But it shouldn't be led by a great scholar or a great mufti. Okay? Just normal Muslims can do it and bury that person. Because it's just really bad the way that person died. It's just really wrong. It is haram. No matter how difficult life is, no matter how stressful things get, even if someone has lost hope for a better future, they are not allowed to commit suicide. A true believer never despairs. He never becomes hopeless. And remember that Shaitan was the one who became hopeless. And that's why he is called Iblis, meaning the one who despairs. The hopeless one. For anyone who starts feeling helpless, okay, and he doesn't hope for the mercy of Allah, and he doesn't think that his situation will improve, if they become extremely depressed to the point where they end up killing themselves, that is a haram death. Okay, they're dying in a haram way, and we should know that they are headed for Jahannam, to suffer there forever. People get fed up with life sometimes, and that is why they take their lives. They think that death is an escape. But they should know that taking their own lives is not an escape, because they will never be at peace even after death. That person will suffer in a far worse way in the hereafter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden people from taking their lives. And a fourth point that is also a part of this that we should know about. When people ask, where in the Quran does it say that smoking cigarettes is haram? Or shisha or hookah or vaping is haram? This is the ayah that scholars quote. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not kill yourselves. And how do all these things fall into this category? Because people are harming their health when they do these things. Medical science tells us clearly that these things are bad for health. And Islam forbids anything that harms people. And this ayah explains this to us. On the Day of Judgment, we'll be questioned about each of the blessings we had. And health is one of those great blessings. Imagine losing it because of our own actions. And as we learn from Hadith, we are not supposed to harm ourselves or other people. And when people smoke, others around them are exposed to secondhand smoke. And the smell causes discomfort for them too. In Islam, we're taught to not even eat raw onions or garlic before going to the masjid, because that is uncomfortable for the angels. They don't want to be around people who smell bad. Imagine the smell of smoke. It makes everyone around that person uncomfortable. It's wrong to buy cigarettes and waste money on something unlawful. And this is also one of the five questions everyone will have to answer on the Day of Judgment. How did you spend the money that you earned? So people will be questioned separately about how they earned their money and then about how they spent it. Therefore, it's sinful to buy, sell, or offer these things to others. According to Hadith, the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really dislikes the most are qeel wa qaal, meaning vain, useless talk about who said what, asking too many questions, and wasting money. Statistics show that smoking kills over 480,000 Americans each year. They die from smoking. Okay, and about 41,000 of those are people who die from secondhand smoke. People who don't even smoke, but they're just exposed to it because of being around smokers. On average, smoking shortens a person's lifespan by 10 to 13 years due to the health issues it causes. The WHO says that tobacco kills more than 8 million people worldwide each year, of which 1.3 million are non-smokers who are exposed to secondhand smoke. So not only do people harm their own health when they smoke, but they are also harming others around them too. Many people don't know that vaping or e-cigarettes are also forbidden in Islam, because tobacco is haram. It contains nicotine, and nicotine is really addictive. And it's very harmful to the developing brains of young people. It causes lung cancer and increases the risk of heart disease. So even if these products have different names, they are all basically the same thing as cigarettes. Shisha or hookah smoking is not a safer alternative to vaping. Both increase the risk of cancer and lung disease. There are heavy metals and tar in it, as well as nicotine. When people say that flavored hookahs are safe, they're not right, because those flavors are often made with artificial colors and sweeteners. Okay, and they're harmful. And experts believe that non-tobacco hookahs, the products, non-tobacco hookah products expose people to the same amount of cancer-causing toxins found in tobacco hookah. Smoking decreases lung function, causes cancer of the throat, mouth, esophagus, and digestive organs. It leads to an increase in carbon dioxide in the blood. And it decreases fertility in both males and females. It increases the risk of tuberculosis and causes wrinkles on the face, high blood pressure issues, and it increases the risk of heart attacks. So people are basically harming themselves in all these ways by using these products. Instead of being grateful to Allah for having a healthy body, they expose it to harmful substances. Just because they see so many others doing it, they think it's okay. Some people even ask if it's allowed. They should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "La taqtulu anfusakum." Do not kill yourselves and your families by adopting these unlawful ways. People have to be aware of these things because most don't know that they're forbidden. Our youth are especially susceptible to it. Many people say that alcohol is forbidden, but not all this other stuff. But everything that we went over is included in that category. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ رَحِيمًا. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful to you. He wants us to understand that He prohibited things for our own good because He cares about us. How can we expect to succeed and live in peace when people are caught up in all the batil, the false, wrong things that we learned about in this ayah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all merciful. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ عُدْوَانًا وَظُلْمًا. And anyone who commits such acts of aggression and injustice, whoever crosses the limits set by Allah. فَسَوْفَ نُسْلِيهِ نَارًا. Then soon we will throw him into the hellfire. This refers to the things we covered in Ayah 29, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders people not to consume each other's wealth or kill themselves by adopting unlawful ways. Ibn Abbas says, ذَلِكَ refers to all the Islamic orders. If anyone transgresses, he or she will be thrown into the hellfire. And that can mean the rules of inheritance, nikah, the things about muharramat we covered, everything. وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرًا. And this is very easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do. Even if that person is from the Muslim Ummah, and that person worships Allah, this will be their result if they transgress or do injustice. These orders were sent so they can be followed. So anyone who doesn't follow these orders of Allah will have to suffer the consequences. None of these orders can be taken lightly. إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ. If you avoid the big sins that you've been told to stay away from. Okay, before we continue, let's figure out how we can tell if a sin is one of the bigger sins, the major sins. Okay, there are a few things that can help us figure out if the sin we're thinking about is a major sin or not, one of the bigger sins. Firstly, the kabira sins are the ones there's a punishment for committing, like stealing or zina, for example. Secondly, the kabira sins are the ones that the Quran and Sunnah warn about, like a curse of Allah on the person who commits that sin, or that their result will be Jahannam, or that that person does not belong to the Muslim Ummah. That person is not of the Muslim Ummah if they commit such a sin.
Okay, all those things are also kabira. The third sign of a kabira sin is that the Quran clearly states that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made something haram. Okay, whatever the Quran tells us, Allah has made haram. And anyone who does that is committing a kabira sin. And scholars say that saghira sins, meaning the smaller, the minor ones, that a person keeps repeating become kabira as well. That person thinks that they're only the smaller sins, but they become big if they're done over and over again. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah, if you abstain from the big sins, مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ, what you have been forbidden from, we will do away with your small sins. وَنُدْخِلْكُمْ, and we will cause you to enter. مُدْخَلًا كَرِيمًا, a place of great honor, meaning paradise. So if people stay away from the kabira sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will admit them to Jannah. Some of the kabira sins are murder, zina, homosexuality, drinking alcohol, stealing, taking someone else's wealth unjustly, using the wealth of an orphan, charging interest on a loan, disobeying parents, and that's actually one of the bigger sins. Also, in the list of kabira sins is accusing innocent people, lying while testifying, not fasting in Ramadan without a genuine excuse, swearing and lying, cutting off family ties, cheating in business transactions when selling goods, praying Salah before the time actually begins for it, missing Salah without an excuse, killing Muslims unjustly, saying bad things about the noble Sahaba, the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, taking bribes, not paying zakat, not enjoining good, forgetting the Quran, burning an animal, not having hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, not fearing Allah, eating dead animals or haram things, magic, and some other things. We should learn what the kabira sins are so we can stay away from them. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that anyone who avoids the big sins will be forgiven for their small sins as well. As for the minor sins, the saghira ones, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the sins between one salah and the next. He forgives the minor sins between one Jummah prayer and the next. He forgives the minor sins between one Hajj or Umrah to the next, and the sins between one Ramadan to the next also. That is, if that person fasted and really used that time in Ramadan to seek forgiveness, and did the same thing the next Ramadan also. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives minor sins in these ways. Also, when people make wudu, their saghira sins are removed from them. They are washed off. However, the kabira, or the major sins, cannot be forgiven like that. Or if someone hasn't given someone what is rightfully theirs, or fulfilled their responsibility towards another person, they're not forgiven. It's very important to stay away from kabira sins. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to be really careful about it. Another thing to note here is that if we leave out the things Allah made fard or obligatory for us to do, that is considered a big sin too. And we have to stay away from the minor sins as well, or they become big. When we try, we can hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us for our mistakes and the minor sins we commit. وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوْا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ, and do not envy what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given some of you more than the others. When we look around, we notice that Allah has blessed each person in a different way. For example, there are people who are physically really strong. And then there are some who are very wealthy. Others are really beautiful. Some belong to a really nice family. And many are really pious or knowledgeable. So people have been blessed by Allah in different ways. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to not long for what He preferred for another. Because when people start wishing for what someone else has, it creates problems. Let's learn why this ayah was revealed. Once Umm Salima radiallahu anha said to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ya Rasulullah, men go to fight and do jihad in the way of Allah, but women are not able to do that and earn that reward. And with inheritance as well, women are given half as much as men." That's when this ayah was revealed. Another narration says, some men went to see Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "When we get double the share a woman gets from inheritance, shouldn't we get double the reward for our good deeds too?" And women asked, "Jihad is not fard for us, and we don't get the reward of dying as a martyr. So what is there for us?" In this world, we see that women are often paid less for the same work they do as a man in that field. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not do injustice. He is not unjust. He tells us here that there is no reason to feel jealous or envy someone for whatever He has blessed that person with. When we see good qualities in another person, we shouldn't feel jealous. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses some people with kids and others don't have kids. But that doesn't mean the second person starts to envy the one with kids. If anyone has a nice husband or a nice house or a nice career, there's no reason for someone else to be jealous. Everyone is tested through these blessings they are given. If a couple has children, they are tested through those children. And if someone is married, they are tested in it. So, the same thing goes for being a man or a woman. Men are tested in their own ways and women in theirs. Okay, but some people don't understand this. And they complain that, oh, men, Allah has favored men in some ways. Na'udzubillah. If someone is wealthier or has a bigger home, there are tests that come with those blessings. So instead of being jealous of people, we should remember that those blessings are really tests for them. There are challenges that come with each blessing. There are problems. It is inappropriate to be jealous of what others have. And that's why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make the dua, "Allahumma inni as'aluka rida ba'da al-qada." Oh Allah, allow me to be content with whatever You have decreed for me. Allahumma inni as'aluka rida ba'da al-qada. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that people should not feel bad when they see someone else with a blessing that they don't have. Sometimes people actually become jealous of another person because of the things someone else is saying. Okay, like a third person. Sometimes parents compare their child to another child as if that other child is better in some way. So their child starts to feel jealous. At times, men compare their wives to other women, praising other women. So their wives naturally start to feel jealous. This is why we shouldn't make anyone feel like they're not good enough. Or that someone else is better than them. Everyone has their own good and bad qualities. But if someone is jealous of another person, they want the other person to lose that blessing or that good quality too. Even if the jealous person doesn't get what the other person has, they just want it to be taken away from the other person. And they feel happy when that person is in pain or goes through problems. That is dangerous. So we shouldn't compare people to each other like that. Even if one person is better in one way, that person has nothing to do with it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made that person that way. And He preferred to give that person that blessing. He or she has. Some people complain and ask why Allah prefers some people over others. And that is because He tests us by giving us certain blessings or not allowing us to have some others. It's all a part of the test. And not everyone is blessed in the same way. One person may have a lot of something, the other doesn't even have a small amount of. But that's just a part of the test. When Allah bestows a lot of blessings on someone, it doesn't necessarily mean that He's pleased with that person. It's just a test for that person. Many people just notice the blessings other people have, and they're never thankful for what they have. They think others are so lucky, and they overlook what they've been blessed with. But we have to be content with what He gave us. When people see the blessings another person has, they don't see the problems in that person's life. Like we learned from the phrase, the grass is greener on the other side. That's so true. They think everything is just perfect in that other person's life. People are not satisfied with their own situation. They always think others have it better. And that feeling leads to jealousy. And that makes our good deeds go to waste. So we have to avoid jealousy. Anytime we hear about someone else's blessings, if we feel a tightness in our chest, we should know that we are jealous. If we're not happy for them, it's because we're jealous. And that has to be taken care of so our good deeds don't go to waste. Sometimes jealousy even leads to depression and people become ill as a result. So Allah told us not to be jealous of others for our own good. Whenever we start feeling uncomfortable, when we hear about another person's good fortune or blessing, we should remember this ayah. وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوا مَا فَضَّلُ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. And we must say, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ بَارَكَ فِيكَ. Make dua for barakat for that person. Okay, because whatever they have is by the will of Allah. When we say that, we're reminding ourselves that. And we want that person to enjoy whatever they've been blessed with. So make dua for that person. Some women wish that they had been created as men. Okay, that they were men. But don't they think of all the responsibility that comes with being a man? Because Islam orders men to do a lot of things that women don't have to worry about doing. Sometimes people are so jealous of others that they go as far as magic to try to take away that person's happiness. They're glad when someone else goes through something bad. Okay, when they are suffering. Because they're just so jealous of that person. And they're so evil. So they just want that person to experience pain. Astaghfirullah. We have to purify ourselves from these negative emotions. Okay, we have to recognize it first. That we do feel bad. Okay, whenever we hear about someone else's blessings, if we feel a tightness in our chest, if we are not happy for that person, so we should acknowledge it first and then take care of it. Purify ourselves from those emotions, because all these negative emotions will waste our good deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِرِجَالِ نَسِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا. Men will be rewarded according to their deeds. وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبْنَ. And women will be rewarded according to their deeds. This was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's reply to the men and women who went to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to question him about wanting to be rewarded more. Allah says that each will be rewarded according to what each woman or man does. For the things they do that are the same, they are rewarded in the same way. For example, they get the same reward for praying and fasting. But for the other things, their field of work is different. But they can seek great reward for whatever has been prescribed for them in their own way. Women can earn great rewards for delivering a baby. And men earn those great rewards for fighting in the way of Allah. Men are rewarded more for praying in the masjid and earning a living in a halal way. Women have responsibilities to fulfill at home to seek similar rewards. There's a hadith that says if a woman prays 5 times a day, fasts in Ramadan, guards her chastity, and obeys her husband, she will end up in Jannah. And men can't complain about that. This package does not apply to them. But they can do what they've been ordered to do to get the same reward, other things that they can do, because their field of work is different. When women go for Hajj, that is like jihad for them. So they get the reward of performing Hajj and doing jihad, subhanAllah. Instead of men wanting to be like women and women trying to be like men, they should try to excel in whatever work they have been ordered to do. According to Islam, nobody is better because of their gender. Islam is not at all unfair towards anyone. When women complain about Islamic rules, it's because they don't have enough knowledge. Otherwise, they would never do that. وَاسْأَلُ اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His grace. When you notice that someone has been granted a favor of Allah, you can ask Allah for that blessing too. Instead of being jealous of that person, ask Allah for it. He can easily give it to you as well. Whenever negative thoughts start coming to mind, when you see another person's blessings, just think that Allah gave that person those things and He can give it to you also. Just ask Him for it. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمًا. Indeed, Allah has perfect knowledge of everything. He knows exactly what to give someone and what to deprive someone of, and what someone is capable of bearing and what he or she is not capable of. He knows what he wants for each person, which responsibility he wants each person to have. He knows who he has to test and in which way. We should remember these things, just trust him, and note down the beginning of this ayah, وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوْا. As a reminder, to never be jealous of anyone for any reason. There's no need to feel jealous or depressed. If Allah has blessed someone with one thing, He has blessed us with many other things. Just remember those things. Count your blessings. We have to remember that and be grateful for what we have. And if we really like something that someone else has, we should be happy for that person. And if we want it, we can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it too. He can give it to us as well. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. اللهم منزل الكتاب سجي الحساب اهزم الاحزاب اللهم اهزمهم وزلزلهم امين يا رب العالمين جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته.